Diaz and the Moose, coast to coast, pillar to post, on CBS Sports Radio.
Make some noise in this joint, man!
Good Friday morning to one and all. It is Taz and the Moose with you right here on CBS Sports Radio. Mike Pete across the way, other side at the controls. Andrew with your updates as we take you right up until 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 Pacific, live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Going to mix a little college football into the course of the conversation this morning. Dennis Dodd is going to join Taz and myself. Looking forward to that. Dennis is great covering the sport. Also talking about everything that's on the table as we hit upon yesterday about come 2023 potential changes out in California where collegiate athletes can make money off of their likeness and their name and how that affects the NCAA if that new bill does become law. So look forward to that conversation. Plenty to get to as we inch closer and closer to the NBA free agency Sunday at 6 o'clock Eastern time. What's going on, Taz? How you doing, bud?
Moose, I'm doing good. I hope you're doing good, too. I mean, you look great as usual. You look great. It's awesome.
As do you.
Everything's awesome. Yeah, everybody looks great here today. Everybody's dialed in, locked in. We finish off, which was a great week here on Taz and Moose. You understand? It was a great week, as you know.
So, yes, to my understanding, it was.
Yes, sir. You were a big part of that, so thank you.
Oh, thank you. No, thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate
thank
that.
You. Thank you. So, good morning to one and all. Yes. Welcome to Friday, as the weekend is almost upon us and wrapping up the work week. And Taz, we get it going here on this Friday morning with a little NBA conversation. As you know, Sunday at 6 o'clock Eastern time, it's really dominated a lot of the talk and the vibe. You know, around social media and certainly on sports talk radio around the country. Because it's just that time of year, right?
Yeah.
So no one's getting into, NHL free agency, which comes your way July 1st as well. It's more about the NBA than anything else, even though I do get into the National Hockey League, and that'll be fun to see what your Islanders and my Rangers do.
Sure.
Come Monday when free agency in the National Hockey League does get going. But for the NBA, Taz, you know, a couple interesting things that went down yesterday. Number one is the Lakers were able to open up max space and cap space and expand their deal with the New Orleans Pelicans as they ship off Mo Wagner, Bonga, and Jamario Jones to the Washington Wizards. And Anthony Davis did waive his $4 million trade kicker as well, which is a lot for him to give up. I'm sure the Lakers will make up for that
a lot
at some point in time. Yeah. But that's $4 million. It's still $4 million in order to open up that max slot. So they're at the $32.7 million. Give a little change as well in order to be able to sign, say, a Kyrie Irving or a Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
So that changed from yesterday to today, and that's big news because the Lakers have got two big-time stars in LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Moose. Massive news, man, like you just laid out. I mean, big deal here. I mean, if one of these guys, in my opinion, especially Kawhi Leonard, if Kawhi were to end up with the Lakers, that would be, you know. And we've talked a lot about how, you know, there's scuttlebutt that he wants to go back home and back to Southern California and go play for the Clippers. But now that the Lakers are in this conversation, I mean, I want to ask you your opinion. I mean, we've talked a lot about it. You know, like an overview, like LeBron James could be a little tough maybe to play with and stuff like that. Not because he's a great player, we know that, but, you know, the drama behind the scenes and he runs stuff without acting like he runs it. You know where I'm going, right?
Yeah.
But would you think that a guy like Kawhi Leonard, with his demeanor, and he's so laid back, you know what I mean? He's such a type C personality, for lack of better terms. I want to see what you think. I kind of think he can maybe get along with LeBron James and play fine and not be like he's unflappable. What do you think? Like, you know, with Kawhi
LeBron. I don't think it's a personality issue with Kawhi and the Lakers. I don't think it's a case of whether or not he could. I think he could deal with it. I don't have that reservation. It's a matter of whether or not he wants to deal with it.
Right. Well, but that's what I'm kind of saying. Like, I feel. I mean, just my opinion. I feel like Kawhi is, like I said, such a laid back type guy, and it's I don't see a lot of the drama anywhere he plays bothering him, you know, and you know, we know LeBron James brings a lot of drama. You know, once the season starts, there's going to be some sort of drama in Los Angeles with the Lakers. There always is when LeBron's on a team. We know that. And, you know, we know that there's been enough players that kind of weren't, like, doing backflips to maybe, I want to go play with LeBron. Because right away, you're second fiddle. You know that right out of the box. You're second fiddle. And maybe third fiddle. Now, if you go there with Anthony Davis there, I'm not saying Kawhi would be third fiddle. But it just, he's a kind of a tougher nut to play with, LeBron James.
No,
you know what I mean?
Doubt about that. And I don't think that's where if I had to guess, and it's purely guess in terms of speculation, he is going to give the Lakers a meeting, as he's going to meet with the Los Angeles Clippers as well. And Kawhi Leonard's last meeting, he's going to meet with the Knicks. Kawhi Leonard's last meeting is going to be with the Toronto Raptors and Masai Ujiri. So the last team that he meets with, reportedly right now, is going to be the Toronto Raptors. So, Taz, we're not in a disagreement. I don't think the drama of LeBron James is the thing that would affect whether or not Kawhi Leonard decides to sign with the Lakers or whether or not he could deal with that headache. I think Kawhi Leonard could deal with a lot. So, yeah, I don't disagree with what you said.
I was just curious what your take was.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point.
Yeah.
I mean, I do. The question I would have then for Kawhi Leonard is if him and his team believe that they have not been able to maximize their marketing dollar based on where they were before in San Antonio or even where they are now in Toronto. Why would you go to the Lakers then to where you are then going to be the second banana behind LeBron James?
Right. That's what I'm saying. I agree with you.
Right. And the other aspect is that Kawhi Leonard doesn't need LeBron James.
No, he does not. He's proved that.
So, yeah. So LeBron James needs Kawhi. I've said it time and time again. Here on CBS Sports Radio, LeBron James needs Kawhi Leonard more than Kawhi Leonard does need LeBron James. So that's great that they're going to get a meeting. I'd be stunned. Payne me as stunned if Kawhi Leonard ends up in a Laker uniform.
I completely agree.
I'd be utterly surprised. Things do surprise you in the sports world all the time. This would just be the latest endeavor that would surprise me. I don't think he's going to the Lakers. I think it's great that the Lakers open up that maximum cap space. I get it. That's fantastic. Maybe they can go get themselves Kyrie Irving. Maybe it ends up being Jimmy Butler. I mean, there's a number of ways that they go. Maybe it's Kemba Walker, right? And we'll get into the latest rumblings around Kemba here momentarily, Taz. But I'd be stunned if Kawhi Leonard is being introduced as the next Los Angeles Laker. Plus, the other thing for the Lakers is this, is if you go in and make your team as top-heavy as that, it's going to be awfully difficult to fill out the roster of players that you're going to need, ultimately, to be successful.
Oh.
And you're also looking at a team then where if you're Rob Pelinka, if you have any vision whatsoever, Anthony Davis has not been the epitome of health. LeBron James is coming off an injury-ravaged season. And, you know, if the third player, say for argument's sake, ends up being, you know, Kyrie Irving has not been the epitome of health. Say it ends up being Kemba Walker,
right, for argument's sake.
Just for throw a name out there, right? Or even Kawhi Leonard, a star that you expect that's going to play, you know, a significant portion of the year. Kawhi Leonard missed 22 games last year in the regular season. You know, and there is a, you know, the whole idea of minimizing, you know, the impact of the regular season. There is the whole idea of making sure that you're fresh come the playoffs. You're then so top heavy. How exactly are you going to fill that roster off with a bench and supporting players that play the strengths of your three top stars?
It's not possible.
Well,
it's not going to happen.
It's going to be next to impossible to do. Then you're looking for veteran players to come in and sign for the minimum. I think they're better off, Taz, if they attack free agency, of bringing in shooters, of bringing in guys like a J.J. Redick, of bringing in guys like a Danny Green, guys that can play to the strengths of LeBron and Anthony Davis, where LeBron has the ball in the hands, and then when he gets the double team, he's dishing out to a guy for a wide-open three. That, to me, would make more sense because I've got my two big stars. As we just learned this past year with the Toronto Raptors, you don't need that third star in order to win.
Right, but and I agree. I agree, totally agree.
And I get Golden State was ravaged.
That ship might have sailed. So the Golden State thing. But, I mean, I got a feeling, like you said, the three. I think that the Lakers maybe want to get that third mega star and have this thing where it's, you know, LeBron James heading this thing up and Anthony Davis and someone like Kawhi. I think there's a better shot of Kyrie Irving going there than Kawhi. And I don't. I'd rather have Kawhi in a heartbeat over Kyrie. I mean, that's just me. Even though he bought the big mansion, whatever, New Jersey, Kyrie, and he's from Jersey, and he's probably going to go to the Nets. But who knows? He did. Yeah, you talked about a lot. I talked about a lot. The phone call he made, the advice from LeBron during the year, right when he's with the Celtics, to talk to LeBron about leadership advice and all that kind of jazz. So since then, a lot of people have linked, you know, Kyrie to LeBron James with good reason. You know, and you brought up a really good point about minimizing minutes for a guy like LeBron James during the year, as long as he stays healthy, or Anthony Davis. And that's the thing. You want your stars to have fresh legs, if possible, in the postseason. I mean, and because the season's a grind for these guys. And last I checked, LeBron James not getting any younger. So, and coming off of being banged up. So who knows what he's going to be like, LeBron James, when he comes back. Everybody just thinks it's like a magical switch with him because how consistently great he's been. But who knows what he's going to be like? Nobody knows. I mean, and like you said, the team is like gone. It's like there's nobody there.
Well,
you know?
Right, there's nobody there. I mean, I do think there's not going to be this dramatic drop-off with LeBron. I mean, I'm going on that notion. I mean, I get when you look at last year, the injuries that have taken place, but LeBron's brilliant. If I've got reservations about LeBron, if I'm Rob Pelinka, then I'm in a world of trouble. The Lakers aren't going anywhere. There's nobody that they're going to be able to sign to be able to rectify that situation out there in Los Angeles, Taz. But, that's another one where you look at Kyrie Irving. Remember the thing I've heard, I'd also be stunned if it's Kyrie Irving. I mean, and you could be wrong. I mean, all I've heard is that people around him have told me and people that know the situation have told me that he wants to play on the East Coast, that he wants to play close to his family in Jersey, that he wants to, it's either Brooklyn or the Madison Square Garden, or specifically right now, it's been all about the Brooklyn Nets. And I don't think the Brooklyn Nets are all of a sudden going to pull the rug out from underneath Kyrie Irving. I'd be absolutely surprised if that's the pressure as well, that Kyrie Irving is now being introduced as the next Los Angeles Laker. Those are two that, if that does happen, God bless the recruiter. I mean, LeBron James might be better as a recruiter than he is as a basketball player, because that would be a stunning role and a stunning reversal. Because Taz, got to remember last year, remember when the whole idea was that Kawhi Leonard wanted to be a Laker, wanted to play in Los Angeles, then the Lakers decided not to make a move for him. But the other issue was that then the reports came out that he wanted to more so be a Clipper than he wanted to be a Laker. He didn't necessarily want to be a teammate of LeBron.
Yeah,
he wanted to do his own thing in Los Angeles, but he wanted to be a member of the Clippers organization. I mean, I think it's fascinating because right now you have arguably the greatest, healthiest player in LeBron James coming back, next year, this upcoming season, off an injury-plagued season, off a disappointing year, so you know he's going to be super motivated. They've added Anthony Davis. Now they've got a max free agency spot that they can go find another player and add that third star out in Los Angeles, Taz. What's fascinating is the complexion of NBA free agency took another turn on Thursday with that deal the Lakers made with the Washington Wizards.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. No doubt. It's going to be interesting to see what the Lakers do, how they do it. The best fit, I'm with you. I don't think Kyrie's going there either. I'm with you. I was just saying that I think
I'm not saying that, because there's going to be a lot of people that are going to do that. I'm just telling you from my understanding, Kyrie Irving is wants to play on the East Coast and wants to play close to home.
I believe it. Yeah.
Now listen, Irving's a strange guy, right? And guys could change their opinion, Taz, could change their opinion minute by minute, hour by hour. So I'm not going, my point being is that maybe Irving does all of a sudden, have that meeting, get a call from LeBron, and he's like, you know what, maybe playing out in Los Angeles and getting that sunshine will be the best thing for me. I'm going to head out to L.A. I mean, could that happen? I guess so. I think it's a remote chance, but I guess anything's possible.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think it's going to happen either. I think where the smoke, there's fire, and I think Kyrie Irving's going to be a Brooklyn Net for sure. I do, but Like, I'm with you. Anything can happen. You got to put a qualifier on it because anything can happen. But like LeBron James is tough to play with, I would think, for guys that are big stars already. And you said something that's very important. I don't know why it didn't hit me when this first happened yesterday about them opening up some money space, I should say, for the Lakers. About Kawhi Leonard, you know, that LeBron needs Kawhi more than Kawhi needs LeBron. I mean, that to me is the line of the day, and the show just started because you're on point right there. And that's super point because with the Raptors and what Kawhi did, you know, with some good players around him, I mean, he did some dominant stuff, hence the championship that the Raptors, you know, hoisted in the beautiful city of Toronto. So, you know, and they slayed the beast. They slayed the evil empire known as the Golden State Warriors. Of course, it wasn't the healthy Golden State Warriors, but still, they beat the Warriors, right? So, you know, he doesn't need LeBron. So it'd be funny if Kawhi doesn't stay with Toronto, which I think he's going to, and I believe you think he's going to also, but let's just say hypothetically he does it, and he goes to Los Angeles, but he goes to the Clippers, like it's been talked about, and he avoids going to the Lakers. That, to me, would be funny. That's a direct shot at LeBron James, which would be funny by Kawhi. I don't think any of that's going to happen. I think he's going to stay with Toronto.
Well, we talk about egos, and even though Kawhi is a different personality, you better believe the ego is there about how great of a player he is. You know, he helped Toronto win its first NBA championship and brought the Larry O'Brien Trophy, you know, across the border for the first time, Taz. You know, and I think it would be tough for Kawhi Leonard coming off an NBA championship than to play second fiddle to LeBron James. I see Kawhi Leonard is, you know, we talk about Batman and Robins. People like to talk about that in the NBA in terms of duos, right? Kawhi Leonard is no Robin, right? He is a superhero. He's a Batman. Right. He's a lead guy. He's an alpha dog. He sets the tone for a franchise. He does not need to then go and then have him get, you know, him step back into the shadows and allow LeBron James to get the start. Plus, he's not going to get the credit that he does deserve. And I get it from a LeBron James perspective. He wants to add that other star, Taz. You know why? Because it takes the workload off him.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
at this stage of his career, you know, he's no longer 24, 25 years of age.
He's going to be 35,
you know,
I think.
Right. He's in his mid-30s. He's played a lot of basketball. He's been in the NBA since he was the age of 18. He's played a lot of playoff basketball, which has added a lot of workload onto his broad shoulders. You know, even though he's coming off a disappointing first year with the Los Angeles Lakers, Taz, he's looking at a scenario here where he wants to make sure he adds enough guys to where then if he needs to take time off during the regular season and miss a game here or there, that the Lakers aren't going to have this dramatic, drastic drop-off.
Right, and I think he wants that pressure shared to the point you're making. I think he does because there's always been pressure. I think he, look, I'm not saying LeBron is a flourish for pressure, and I'm not saying hasn't been amazing his whole career under pressure. He has been. I'm not saying that. I'm not even implying that. But I think as you get older to the point you're making, you want to be able to still be great. But you know what? If he needs to sit out and rest his legs a game, rest his hips, rest his lower back, whatever, miss a game, he knows that, A, the team's still in a good place, but also his ego part or his less stressed part of him, LeBron, I don't think he'd mind having another big-time star. I mean, I think Davis is a big star, but even another guy like a Kawhi or Kyrie, so some of the pressure could go there to take a little bit of stress off him.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't be wrong to think that, LeBron. There's nothing wrong with that if he's thinking like that. It really isn't, in my opinion.
No,
anyway.
And that's where, but I also think for the Lakers, Taz, it would be a mistake because I think if they're so top-heavy and they don't add those other pieces that LeBron's going to need, I think it's going to be very, very short-sighted.
I think you're right. I'll tell you who I think is in probably, it's going to sound weird, right? But I'll tell you a guy who's probably in a pretty good spot right now for the Lakers, and this guy that no one really talks about, it's Kyle Kuzma. I mean, he's probably in a good spot because
oh, no doubt,
he's going to be logging loads of minutes. He's going to be balling. He's going to play great. He's a hell of a player. And he's just sitting back and letting it all happen. I mean, he's probably in a pretty good spot right now.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. Yeah. And Kuzma had an impressive rookie year, a little bit of a down year, number two, and then the NBA could shoot from the outside. We do know that is a very, very good offensive player. And, you know, he doesn't mind playing fourth or fifth fiddle on any team.
No, he doesn't.
You know, he's looking to certainly he's in the peach position, the prime position, to take advantage of all the talented guys around him.
Yeah, and they got, isn't DeAndre Hunter going in there from, what do you call it?
No, Hunter's a Hawk.
Hunter's a Hawk. Why am I keep thinking he's going? Oh, no, you're right. He's a Hawk. You're right.
He was right. Yeah. His draft rights. That was the whole thing on draft night.
Right, my bad. That's right, because he got, that's where, see, Mike and I were talking when the draft happened the other day.
Correct.
That's where it gets confusing sometimes, because they got the logo, the guy's wearing the hat.
Right, but, through New Orleans to Atlanta, was the whole deal where he ends up being an Atlanta Hawk.
Okay. I mean, gotcha.
You know, it's interesting, you know, but we look at, at 6 o'clock Eastern time on Sunday night, Taz, when NBA free agency does get going, as we've talked about the Brooklyn Nets, and we've talked about the Dallas Mavericks, and what are the Boston Celtics going to do, and the New York Knicks. Now you throw in another major player, and it's the draw of LeBron and Anthony Davis and the storied franchise that is the Los Angeles Lakers. And now can they get that third star in to Los Angeles to help LeBron win yet another championship, as he has given up his number 23 to Anthony Davis?
That surprised you? Did that surprise you at all?
No.
He wants to wear 6 again like he did with the Heat?
Yeah, right. And he did for United States basketball.
Right.
It surprised me a little bit.
I was surprised. He's worn 23 for quite some time.
He did.
Yeah.
I think it was important for him to wear 23 back in Cleveland.
Mm.
I think with the Lakers, I think LeBron will do anything to appease anybody. I don't know if he's as hooked into numbers as some others are.
Yeah.
And he's got another number that he's got some history to, and that is number 6, as you mentioned, with the Miami Heat.
Yeah, he does.
You know, because when I think of LeBron wearing 23, I don't think of him as a Laker. I think of him as a Cavalier.
Right. When I think of 23, I think of one guy. You know what I'm going to say.
No, I get that with Michael.
I do. Every time I see a guy playing basketball wearing 23, that's what I think about.
No, fair. I was just looking at specifically to him. But
the Cavaliers.
Yeah, and him wearing number 6 and giving up to Anthony Davis, what he wants to make sure appease another star on the team, show that he's a good quote unquote team guy, right? And give him the number. And if LeBron's happy wearing number 6, so be it.
Well, AD gives up $4 million and he gets number 23.
Right.
Look at that. Good deal.
Even swap. Right?
Yeah, even Steven, right?
Yeah. That's like a game of rock, paper, scissors. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. We'll get into the latest rumblings around Kemba Walker. We want to hear from you. Lakers have now opened up with their trade yesterday with the Wizards. Can now sign a max free agent. Who do they target? Who signs there? Kawhi giving them a meeting. Now another big player when NBA free agency gets going Sunday at 6 o'clock Eastern time. Want to hear from you at 855-212-4227. Would you want to go play with LeBron and AD out in L.A.? Taz, Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. And the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. 855-212-4227. Your number to call. CBS Sports Radio is toll-free live. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes. You can save 15% or more on car insurance.
We talk a lot about the last segment, Moose, about the Lakers. What are they going to do here? They got to feed up some money now. Could they get Kawhi? Could they get Kyrie? You know, what are they going to do? They got a lot of moves they can make. Let's go out to Ohio, talk to Mark. Listen on 96.7 FM. Mark, you're on with Taz and the Moose. What's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Good morning, Mark.
What's up?
I think at this age, LeBron is the complementary piece, and they need to build around Anthony Davis for the future. I think the ideal choice for them would be to bring back the two guys they got rid of, D'Angelo Russell and Julius Randle. And I think you got Russell at 1. You got Kuzma at 2, you got LeBron at 3, you got Randle at 4, you got Davis at 5. That's a defensive powerhouse. They can run the floor.
Great team.
And you just add a few shooters, and you got a contender.
Yeah, listen, and Mark, you're playing to the point of spreading the money and spreading that asset around instead of going in for one other big player. Yeah, I mean, that would be a hell of an all-season.
Mark, we appreciate the call. Thanks. Yeah, no doubt.
If you're able to bring in and bring back certainly a fitter, leaner Randle, who played very, very well this past year for New Orleans. And then you look at D'Angelo Russell, who came of age in Brooklyn. If they indeed do sign Kyrie Irving and rescind his rights, then I think that would be a home run. I mean, I think that would be a. I think those would be two great additions for the Los Angeles Lakers. But it plays to the point that we were talking about earlier: is where do you go? What do you do if you're the Lakers? Do you go all in on a guy like Kyrie Irving? Or are you looking to try and add some other pieces that are going to be a little bit cheaper, but add more of them to the assets you already have in LeBron, Kuzma, and Anthony Davis?
Yeah, no, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. But I think we both agree that people could fantasy book all they want. Kawhi, he's not going to be a Laker. Leonard, it's not happening.
Oh no, I don't think Kawhi is.
I'm thinking about more and more. I'm like,
Like I mentioned before, I'd be stunned. Yeah. I'd be stunned. Things do stun you in life, though. I'd be really, really surprised. I would go the. I think it's a little bit of. I'm not telling you Kawhi Leonard is fool's gold, but I think you'd be very, very top heavy if you sign anyone else other than Kawhi. And give them that max deal. I think you'd be better off signing role players than Kyrie Irving. I think you'd be better off signing role players than Kemba Walker. I if you're the Lakers, that's the avenue that I would go down. But we'll see exactly what the vision is of that Lakers franchise led by Rob Pelinka.
Yeah. No, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. And, they want to win. They want to win now. And I think Lakers want to try and get that third big-name guy. But to the point you're making, you have no depth. You have no depth. And any kind of, it's a long, tough season. Your star is not getting any younger at all.
Well, and your secondary star is not exactly a guy that plays 82 games
healthy,
a year
right,
either.
Right, exactly. So you need to have some depth. You need to have some. You can't just rely on Kyle Kuzma if all that stuff falls apart. So, you need to have some to the point. You're making some guys on the bench that can come off there and play.
Right, and as load management has taken over the NBA when it comes down to superstars as well, let's also not forget when you talk about Kawhi Leonard, he played 60 games in the regular season for the Toronto Raptors.
Yeah.
He played 60.
Yeah.
He missed 22 regular season
games. Good point.
So you also have to look at whatever team that Kawhi Leonard does end up with, you better believe that they're going to handle him. Maybe he plays 65. He's not played 75, 78 games. You're not going to have that for Kawhi Leonard either. And that's fine because they're looking to make sure he's ready and healthy. But you're also looking at two other players in Los Angeles, in Davis and LeBron. And in specifically LeBron, as you mentioned, Taz, getting another year older.
Yeah, that's
the thing. Mid-30s now.
Things change. That's why, I don't know. I mean, I was saying earlier, I don't know if he's going to come back and be as great as he was. I mean, I know it can happen. I mean, is he Tom Brady? Maybe. I mean, we've seen similarities in him. Brady comes back every year, and he's better and better. I mean, so it's freaky weird. But, so we'll see if LeBron could do something like that. I don't know. We'll see how he's coming off this injury.
The one thing he does have, Taz, where you would think that he does age more gracefully is, he's an unbelievable athlete.
Absolutely.
I think when he was...
Freak. Yeah.
Right. He went to, when he got drafted in the NBA, he went to one of these... I don't know how to describe it. He went to one of these kind of... where they measured his athleticism.
I know what you're talking about. Like sports science type thing?
Yeah. He went to... It wasn't on ESPN. Yeah, they weren't doing it at that stage.
They put different things on your body, like suction things with wires. Signals that go into a computer.
Right.
Yeah,
so they measured him.
I can't remember what it is.
You know what I'm talking about, though. So they measured his athleticism and all different things, right?
Yeah.
He measured at 99.5% percentile.
Yeah, that's just...
He's an unbelievable athlete.
There's no doubt.
He's got the work.
That's like the Williamson kid, Zion.
Yeah, right.
Similarities. That type of athleticism.
Right. So he's one in a million.
At that size.
So I do think he's going to age gracefully. Other guys that are not great athletes, I don't look at... I'm not going to compare careers, but Carmelo Anthony did not age gracefully.
Right, right, right.
Because Carmelo Anthony's not the athlete that LeBron James is.
To the point you're making, like a Michael Jordan has aged gracefully.
Correct. Because he was an unbelievable athlete.
Exactly. He looks exactly the same, Michael Jordan. It's kind of weird. Wow, look who just walked in. Yes. Wow, we've been trying to kill time until he walked in.
Busy out there.
Yeah. Thanks for coming with me, guys. I'm sorry, what? What did I do?
I look at you and I think of donuts.
And I just
realized I don't have cash on me. But I
no one saw that coming, huh?
No, I really don't. Yeah. Look, I've Moose is like, oh, this guy. Look, no cash. Look at the wallet.
I have
credit cards that you could buy small farms in Indonesia.
Yeah, we understand you have money.
We don't need to go to repay them.
We don't need to see your Venmo or PayPal.
Everybody's chiming in. Like the tact begins.
It's just that.
Amex black card.
No, we've heard it.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying.
I mean, money's not one of my... I got a lot of problems. Money ain't one of them.
I don't have enough cash to buy a dozen donuts. We can go buy a couple of car dealerships right now if you want to go buy like an Audi dealership or something. Great brand. We can do that right now if you
Here comes the money.
I mean, if you want.
Yeah.
So I got to get donuts today, though, right? This is the deal. But I don't have cash.
Well, you don't have to.
You spot me 20?
I don't have any cash on.
There we go. There
Why don't you buy the franchise and then we get free donuts?
Well, yeah. Well,
yeah, it's a great idea.
Nice. Mike, nice you got shot, 20 baby. Bucks, Lemmy?
No.
Taz, come on. This is not a good look. It's just you'll get them next time you're here.
I could get them. I go on the, one of the food apps, dude. That's all right.
Pete's holding a 20 out for you. It'd be his honor to owe you money.
Monopoly money, but you know.
I'm so mad because all kidding aside, I did put a reminder in my phone about to bring cash. Mm. I'm not kidding because I never used to carry cash. And I blew off the notification that I got.
Get the hell out of here.
For myself. That's horrible. Oh. Yeah.
Well, sounds like a good plan.
To support it.
God bless.
Yeah. Well, well, this is the way these conversations go on the show here. So,
what do you mean?
I'm over here trying to tell you a story, and it's like your people are just like, you know, how come I can't get? I'm looking on one of the apps here.
How long
I,
do you want to talk about donuts?
Yeah, 12 bucks? Because I feel bad because I feel like I'm reneging. You know, that's why.
No, nobody. To be honest with you, nobody thought you'd bring money.
It's true.
Oh God, that's not cool. Who bought the donuts today? Then where are the donuts?
There's gonna be donuts.
There are no donuts.
Nope.
How about Billy? Billy, does Billy have 20 bucks? Let me.
Probably a credit card for it.
Now Billy's not going to eat.
What'd you say about my credit card?
You can't use a credit card for donuts?
Yeah, just give him a credit card.
No. You can give one of these people my credit card to walk around Manhattan? What are you kidding me?
Stop. No one's stealing your credit card. Billy cares about it.
Give Billy my credit card. The kid will be flying out to Waikiki.
Right. He's going to see you right. He's going to cost himself his entire career for a flight to Hawaii.
Yeah, 12 net jerseys for him.
Well, it's disappointing.
No, I'll work it. I'll talk to some people. I'll talk to Al Dukes down the hall. He'll lend me 20 bucks. He's a big radio star. He's got it. So I'll talk to him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All right, take it away.
You know what I mean? I'll
Thanks, Moose. No Here's your report. Ahead, it is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance, protecting commercial vehicles and offering specialized coverages designed to protect your business. Find out more at progressivecommercial.com. We will miss their battles with SMU and East Carolina, but UConn is headed back to the Big East. The official announcement almost 24 hours ago at MSG. This is University President Susan Herbst.
The competitions are rivalries across sports. They were intense. They're passionate. Above all, they're a thrill to watch and be part of. The Big East always represented the highest order of athletic excellence. So in joining the Big East now and rejoining, UConn is coming home.
Yeah, it sounds great in the Big East.
That audio is brutal.
It sounds like she's a computer or like a hologram. Yeah. She wasn't really there.
It was really bad.
She was talking out of somebody's fancy like wristwatch, like in Star Wars. She
Hi, guys.
Exactly.
It's Princess Leia's message. Now, the only thing that wasn't discussed yesterday was the actual return date for the Huskies. They will spend at least the coming season in the AAC. Conference bylaws call for 27 months' notice and a $10 million exit fee. American Commissioner Mike Oresko said yesterday it's up to UConn to initiate those talks, especially if they want to leave early. Former five-star recruit Quentin Grimes is transferring to Houston. Grimes started every game as a freshman for Kansas this past season, averaging only 8 points and 2.5 rebounds. He was briefly in the NBA draft this spring. Pro hoops, as you guys were just discussing, the Lakers have reportedly drawn the Wizards into their Anthony Davis trade. Mo Wagner, two other young players, and a future second-round pick would go to Washington, who will send some cash to New Orleans. Coupled with Anthony Davis reportedly waiving his $4 million trade kicker, the Lakers apparently have enough cap space to sign a mega free agent. The Celtics are reportedly the front runners to sign Kemba Walker, and they've hired Carol Lawson as an assistant coach. That makes four female assistants in the league right now.
I mean, should I get bagels? Like a dozen bagels?
I mean, that's... I'd take bagels over a
donut. But you know what? Some of you guys are not nice guys, and I don't know if I want to do that. There's no reason for me to buy bagels. If you guys were nicer to me, then I would, to be honest. So, no.
What are we, dogs? Come on, Andrew. Let's go.
Hold on a second.
The Dodgers and Rockies.
I'm in the middle middle of talking, you hold it. You make a statement like that. You go ahead, Andrew. Continue. I know you're Batman and I'm Robin, but please don't treat Robin.
Well, Robin's
like that.
Nice.
What are you talking about?
Robin's nice.
You're basically throwing out like if we're good dogs, you'll give us a treat.
It's called a joke. Okay, Andrew, take it away.
I mean, really, it's a joke.
So was mine. Yeah, it didn't seem like a joke. Andrew, please take it away.
All right, take it away. Sure, Moose, here you go. The Dodgers and Rockies got to the ninth in Colorado, tied at eight. Then Chris Taylor blooped an RBI single to put L.A. on top. Then Kike Hernandez gave them some breathing room.
And the 2-2 on the way from Davis. Kike hammers one to center field. Back goes Dahl. Still going back. It is gone! A three-run pinch hit home run for Kike Hernandez. And the Dodgers now lead it 12-8.
That's Tim Nevert on Dodgers Radio. The 12-8 final means 12 consecutive wins head-to-head for L.A. Arizona beat San Francisco 5-1. The Nationals swept the Marlins 8-5 and the Angels down the A's 8-3. Anaheim's on a four-game run. Mike Trout, the leading vote-getter, as fans picked all-star starters. Houston's Michael Brantley joined him and George Springer joined him in the AL outfield. Braves first baseman Freddie Freeman beat Pittsburgh's Josh Bell by 1.1% to win NL first base. The rest of the roster set on Sunday. And the U.S. women take on France in Paris in the World Cup quarters at 3 Eastern today.
All right, Moose. Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate it. It is everything all right?
You talking to me?
Yeah, you just had a sigh on the air. You all right?
First of all, I didn't sigh, and if I sighed, I would want to sigh, but I didn't sigh. There was no sigh. You heard him, Andrew, who walked out. I didn't sigh. Did I sigh, Mike?
Yeah.
Pete, did I sigh? I don't think I sighed.
All right, let's
go. Maybe I did sigh. I don't know.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose. We'll come back. We'll talk about some changes for the WWE. We'll get into that next on this Friday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
Listen to CBS Sports Radio with the Radio.com app. Free and available in the Google Play and iTunes App Store. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. And the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, time right now to ask the pros, where you, the listener, get to ask us a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Submit your question. Be listening later on the show. We might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. For all your car care needs, can guarantee low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Taz, big announcement yesterday for the WWE. All right, Paul Heyman, Eric Bischoff. Raw, SmackDown.
Yeah, they both men got positions of executive director, individual positions. So basically, Raw, their executive director, this is behind-the-scenes roles, by the way. This is not on-camera roles, even though both men are well-established on-camera besides behind-the-scenes. So Paul Heyman is the executive director of Raw, and Eric Bischoff is the executive director of SmackDown. For those that... I know a lot of wrestling fans listen to this program, so you know what I'm talking about, and you know these people. For some folks that aren't too familiar, so basically, Eric Bischoff used to run and operate Ted Turner's WCW and was actually beating Vince McMahon's WWE years ago in the late 90s, early 2000s in the ratings war, Nitro versus Raw, known as the Monday Night Wars. And Paul Heyman, around that same time, mid to early 90s, late 90s and whatnot, owned and operated ECW, where a lot of my career was. So I've had the opportunity to work with both men for a lot of years, including Eric Bischoff and our time at TNA together, and when I was a commentator there. But they're both more than qualified for these roles. So an executive director, so what does that mean? So that basically means they oversee the show. They're the showrunner of that show. So Paul Heyman is the showrunner of Raw, and Eric Bischoff's the showrunner of SmackDown. But at the end of the day, Vince McMahon still has final say. He's the owner. He put these two men in these positions. So
then is it just a position by name only?
I know what you mean. Not really, because you do have to structure. So let's just say Paul. He does have to structure Raw. He has to, he has a team of writers under him. And a talent roster that he works with. So he puts together, he oversees those writers. They structure a show with his writing team.
Okay.
And then Vince McMahon has to approve it. So I get what you're saying. Like, well, then, you know, who's really in charge? Is it Vince or is it...
Well, whose vision is it then? I mean, is
Paul.
It...
Paul's vision on Raw and Eric's vision on SmackDown.
No, I don't mean to interrupt
you.
Go ahead. But it all still has to be approved by Vince.
Exactly.
So if they have a vision that's different than Vince, Vince wins.
Always.
Okay, so then...
But let me just say one thing on that.
Yeah.
I know what you're asking, and a lot of people would think what you're saying, and you're right. But
well, I don't know. I'm just asking you because you know better than anybody. I think it's great because not as familiar as you are. You've worked with both men. You know both men very well. You know, having watched from the outside, it looked like a kind of a sign of things changing maybe for the WWE, a little bit of a different vision, maybe a freshening of everything.
Yes, yes.
But ultimately, if it's still Vince approving everything, and now, moving forward, then if Paul Heyman says he wants to do one thing or do a twist with, a turn with a certain superstar, and Vince is like, no, I don't want to go that route, then that gets blown up.
Yes, but there's a but. The difference is when you have you're an executive director, Vince could and would say, no, I don't want to go that twist with that wrestler. And then Paul, in private, would have a conversation and do his due diligence to try and show Vince the way he's seeing it. And I got to tell you, I've witnessed Vince McMahon, at times change his mind.
Okay.
He's not like a hard ass where it's like, no, it's my way, that's it. He's not like that. A lot of people do think he's like that. So I could see Eric and or Paul on their respective shows they're running to convince him of certain things. It's different than mainstream sport where, an owner will own a team and, and he's not telling the coaches what plays to run. It's different with WWE. It's like it's owned by Vince and for so many years. But the bigger picture here in this thing, to me, what jumped out to me was, because as everybody knows, this AEW is fixing to start here soon. That's owned by Tony Khan, who owns the Jacksonville Jaguars. To me, this is sending a passive-aggressive message right to AEW. Hey, we're prepared to have a fight with you because you got deep pockets and you got TV. You got TV. So what we're doing is we just put two guys in charge of our flagship shows individually that are both battle-tested in the wrestling promotion wars because Paul Heyman was in the middle of it. Eric Bischoff was flat in the middle of it. Vince McMahon was in the middle of it. They're all together, and AEW has no one with that experience.
Well, that's a great point.
That's a big deal.
Good. So you think the big announcement, you would term this as a huge announcement?
Both these men's names were trending yesterday a lot, worldwide trends because of this.
Yeah, I mean, so that's... Now, who held those positions before these guys took over?
Well, they had, committees of writers, more or less. I mean, it was, for a while, a guy named Ed Koski, a good guy, I know Ed very well, was the writer of Raw. He's still there. He's not in a position. He's still in the company. Another guy who was writing SmackDown was a guy named Dave Kapoor. Another guy I know well who still works there. So they didn't fire these men.
They just got replaced.
And it's just kind of the way it is. It's kind of a revolving door with the writers, but this is different with these two guys because these guys have a long legacy, Paul and Eric.
They do, and Heyman was working with... Was Bischoff working with the company?
No, Bischoff was not working with the company. No, Bischoff was outside of the company. And
Was he doing...
He does a podcast, like a lot of guys in wrestling, including me, do. But no, he was not working for WWE. He had worked for WWE just as a talent after WWE bought WCW. No, he was not. So Paul has been, to your point, working for Vince for a lot of years now.
His role as a manager is not going to change.
Apparently, he's still going to be, I would tease Paul. I call him a manager, too, because he's a manager of Brock Lesnar. But he says, I'm an advocate. Advocate.
Okay.
He's a manager. that's going to still happen.
His work with Brock Lesnar is still going to happen.
Yes, yes, yes.
So he's still going to be introduced and being the voice of Brock.
Yes.
And doing all that.
Yes,
along
yes.
with all of this other stuff.
Correct.
Now,
so,
quick, I know we only got 30, and we'll come back to it, but... Yeah. Does that bother other wrestlers that now the executive director has got some, I would say some skin in the game with one of the wrestlers?
Oh, that's something that I don't have time to answer now. You're right. That's a little hook, I guess. It does bother them a little bit. We can get into a little bit more. It does, and I can explain at some point whenever.
We can do that next. 855-212-4227. Taz Booth, CBS Sports Radio.